This is the State of Things from Spirit Square Studio of WFAE in Charlotte. I'm Frank Stacio. Queen City, of course, hosting the Democratic National Convention this week, and we are joined this hour by a group of North Carolina delegates. Andy Ball is a member of the Boonetown Council. Nick Carpenter is a 19-year-old delegate from Shelby. Sam Spencer is president of Young Democrats of North Carolina, and Catherine Alexander is president of the Hispanic American Democrats of Mecklenburg County. Welcome, all of you, to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
See you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
Great to be here in Charlotte. You know, before the break, we were talking about what people were hoping to hear from the party and participation so and the party platform. So let me just go around the table, and I can start with you, Sam. What excites you about this week, what you've heard and what you expect to hear and see?
I think one of the great things about what's happening is that we are all coming together to build this platform, to build this party, and more importantly, to support this president who's put forward an agenda to strengthen the middle class and bring America forward. We're all really excited about the fact that this platform and everything that we're doing represents the Democratic Party's commitment to equality of opportunity, whether it's for, you know, young people like us, whether it's for Hispanics, African Americans, LGBT individuals, women, or, you know, anybody who's ever been marginalized. You know, we are about equality of opportunity, and that's what it's going to take to, you know, bring good jobs and bring the economy back to life.
Andy, what about you?
Well, I'm excited. There's so many young people who get a chance to participate in this convention this week. We set a high goal for youth inclusion nationally, of course. We implemented that on the state level starting last year, and we'll talk about the process a little more, a little bit in this conversation. But we achieved our goal and got 36 youth delegates in North Carolina, so we're proud and very happy to be part of the delegation here.
Nick, you're a youth. At you weigh in at 19 years old, so that qualifies you as a young person. How's it going for you? What are you taking away from this?
It's been great. I've had a great time so far, and I'm just really excited to be a part of one of the biggest political processes there is, and just send out that message that we're all fired up and ready to reelect our president.
Catherine?
Well, we're excited to be here. We have 9 delegates, Hispanic delegates. We have 8, and we have 1 super. And we're excited. We had a larger goal this particular process, and we're excited and fired up, ready to go, and organize on the ground to bring in that Latino vote for North Carolina and keep us blue.
Let me go back around the table again. Sam, you said something about putting this platform together. We're excited. It's inclusive. It's going to help the middle class, and we're here to help build that platform. My question is, really? No, they're not asking you. Are they really asking you? What role do you have in making the platform, Sam?
Well, actually, the Young Democrats of North Carolina revised our platform and passed a new one back in 2011. And when it comes to making the DNC platform, there's an open process. There's actually a submission process. The Young Democrats, we put in our own platform to the drafting committee for consideration for language and goals and platform planks that should be included. And, of course, there are 4 North Carolinians who are part of our delegation who served on the platform committee. So really, you know, we have representation from every state to make this a document that represents all Americans.
Catherine, you talked about bringing in the Hispanic, the Latino vote to make that a stronger part of this campaign. But again, we always come into these questions when we're talking about identities, ethnic identities. Who are we talking about? Is there a Hispanic platform? And what does that mean? And how does this party try to reach such a diverse body of people?
Well, that's an excellent question. I think last night on the floor at the arena, there were many speakers that spoke about the Latino vote, the power of the Latino vote. I'm originally from California, so we have generations of Latinos that are there. The Carolinas, there's decades of them, is here. Our job on the ground for the movement is to get those that are not registered, registered. Mobilize, and we do that by reaching out and in our body of our executive board, putting together different events, hosting events, reaching out to the Latino community, being sure that they're educated on the importance.
What gets people in those communities excited about being part of this process?
Well,
I mean, are there particular issues? Is it just the fact that we're hearing more Latino voices now on that podium? What is it that brings people and makes them want to register and be part of the process?
I think that there's two, and this will just be repetitive, and you will hear this same theme over and over again. It's immigration reform. It's the Dreamers. These are issues that are very important to the Latino community. And then you have the other issues like everybody else, which is the economy, the health care, education. These and, you know, the Latino families are not any different than anybody else. In fact, it's a very important issue within the Latino community is the La Familia, the family.
Has anything happened over the past 4 years that would give people who had not been involved in the past a reason to say, you know what, now's the time. I'm going to sign up. I want to register. What's happened?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The immigration reform, as we know, is broken. Our president has not been able to move forward. He was given a broken economy. There was a lot of things that were on his plate. It was just totally fractured. He promised to bring in the immigration reform, the Dream Act. He has never left that community out. He had different agenda at the very beginning, and that was to stabilize the economy. He is still moving forward. His plan is to work on immigration reform. We have seen a little bit of this just recently with the Dream Act, which gives this youth a couple of years to be able to have working permits and to be able to be signed up to be able to receive some of the Pell Grants and some of the things that he has put
forward.
Does
that kind of legislation, does it inspire people, the fact that it was seen as a victory and a victory in, you know, in hostile circumstances, having lost his party, lost Congress, does that kind of a success for the Obama administration and then for those in the Latino community, Hispanic community, is that seen as empowering? Is this a reason to get involved?
Absolutely. It is a reason to be involved. The Latino community, even, you know, when you're out there as a grassroots organizer, as I am, even though I'm the president, I'm on the ground with our volunteers on that weekly basis. And they are energized. They're looking for that immigration reform. We even see it. You even see it in those that are opposing a lot of the – you've got the troops on the ground with the Latino movement that is talking about, you know, don't leave us out. You made these promises. But he's going to pull through on the promises. It's very difficult when you've got only two parties and they're so totally opposite. And they block him everywhere he moves. But the Latino community is very excited about the immigration reform and the Dream Act and continuing to move forward on that.
Andy Ball, as a person who's an elected official yourself, member of the Boone Town Council, obviously engagement and enthusiasm 4 years ago were a great part of Barack Obama's success, part of the reason he won. We've been hearing for 4 years that some of that enthusiasm has died down during his administration. From your position as an elected official, what's your sense of that, of how much harder it's going to be to regenerate that enthusiasm?
We keep hearing this narrative over and over again that we have a decline in enthusiasm in our communities, and I'm just seeing the opposite effect in Boone, at least. I can only speak for that area and, of course, parts of the state. But I feel like my community in Boone is a small town. It's a university town, very college-oriented, college-based. Half our population are ASU students at Appalachian State University. And so we are seeing a youth enthusiasm rising up from last time, too. It was a contested primary, of course, last time. In different conditions on the political landscape. But this time, seeing even more folks wanting to get involved and register, and even our activists on campus and folks who have been involved in this process for years, they're coming back again and again and trying to increase those goals. We've actually set registration records that are much higher than this point in 2008.
Yeah.
I think one way to look at the college vote this year is we had an unprecedented share of the primary vote this year come from college voters. Mm-hmm. If you look at the graph of the age distribution, college voters are off the charts, it falls off, and then it looks like a normal distribution graph. So we know if somebody votes in the primary, they vote in the general election, and college voters are really motivated to come back to the polls. And, of course, as we know, the young demographic goes Democratic.
Nick, what made you decide to become a delegate?
I like being a part of the – I enjoy the politics and help – and I just wanted to be a part of a bigger process and represent the area I live in, and this is kind of the best way to do that.
What did you have to do to become a delegate?
Well, I started a long time ago on Obama's first campaign and just have volunteered and done as much as I can and kind of worked my way up and met all the people in our district, and they thought I'd be a good representative for them, so they elected me to come over here and represent them.
You've always been interested in politics?
I've always been interested. I remember watching the Bush-Gore elections and back in elementary school, and I've always thought it was really cool.
That hurt. What you just said just hurt. That was an old man when those elections took place. And what about at home? Do people talk about politics at home? Or
My family's never really been politically active or anything. I mean, they've always voted, but no volunteers or anything. It's kind of my own little journey I went out on.
Yeah, I think young people's media consumption has changed a lot in 4 years. I think in 2008, you didn't have every college student, every young person sitting down at night and watching Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. They're seeing this media, focus on politics, and whether it's satirical or not, they're seeing more of an interest this time because of that, I think.
How do you get your news, Nick?
I read a lot on the internet. I mean, I watch a little bit on TV, but I don't have much time on TV, so.
How's that? Yeah, talk a little bit more about that, Sam, in terms of the influence of digital media now in terms of its ability to generate enthusiasm.
Well, I must be nostalgic because I still like the Dead Tree Edition. And when I get the rest of my news, when I'm driving across the state late at night back from an event, I'm usually listening to the BBC World Service. But a lot of our young people, where's the first thing that they see something? They see it on Twitter. So we have a couple of consequences here. Number one, news has become condensed. Long-form news is dying. Shorter form news, it used to be a blog post that was a revolutionary thing. Now that's old hat. And so these messages have to become smaller and smaller. And it does a couple of things. Number one, it changes how to message to voters, but also it makes it essential to convey as much information as possible. I think Strunk and White would really like this because if 140 characters is all you get, then brevity really is the soul of wit.
Right. But you're hoping that it's spelled properly somewhere along the line.
Exactly.
So that you can at least understand. Well, Catherine, how important is digital media with Hispanic voters? Or is it?
It was really interesting as I was listening to Sam, and it is very, very important, actually. There is a group. There's many, many different groups, but there is a chapter here in Charlotte, which some of my colleagues, which is Brian Cockman with Edwin Gill Gallery, he is the head of the Latino Social Network here. And so it is very important as well. We see a lot of the students, the college students, the high school students, myself and the older groups as well, working in tweeting and blogging and so on and so forth, and sharing a lot of information. In other words, it's information that's coming through to us. My relationships are in El Salvador and in Los Angeles, where I'm from. So I use a terminology which is I play volleyball with it, and we kind of throw it over to L.A., or I do, throw it over to L.A. They respond to me. I throw it over to El Salvador because in El Salvador we are one of the closest ties to the United States. We are in the Americas. We are also on the dollar. Can you imagine being on a dollar system when you're in a third world country? So they've got their ears closely on the ground here to see what North Carolina is going to do.
Nick, though, the challenge is when you've got the Twitter edition of the Lincoln-Douglas debates that a lot of the content gets left out and that some of the depth is actually lost so that while you're engaged at a certain level, a concern among us old folks is that it's not a deep concern or a deep understanding. I mean, how do you answer that?
I really don't know. I try not to get news from Twitter because you don't really get to see the whole story. You could completely change a story with one sentence on there, so.
And Sam, I guess maybe part of it is that's not where you're getting your full understanding of the news, but that drives you to someplace else that may have a deeper explanation.
Yeah, at the very least, when news breaks, you go to Twitter, you go to Facebook. If you're looking for depth, there are quite a few places that you can still go to, and we're hoping that people go to those places, because really, you know, we can say slogans all day long, we can mm-hmm. pontificate, but if people get into the weeds a little bit and see what we mean by, you know, creating an economy built to last, well, that's actually a pretty big plan. That's a lot of different points and a lot of different accomplishments from President Obama that go into that. And so we really hope that people get down and see, well, there's a lot that this guy's actually done.
Right. Well, and you have to make a lot of connections. I think that's it, to see your own economic situation, not to understand how it's connected to the global economy and all the points along the way. That's where hearing a policy, a platform may lose you. You may not understand how it connects with all those issues.
Absolutely. And a lot of the messaging is simply, you know, we can say, you know, jobs are going one way, jobs are going another way. And of course, you know, as young Democrats and as people who support the president, you know, we obviously think if somebody elects Mitt Romney trying to get a job, they're going to feel like Vladimir and Estragon. But at the same time, you know, we really have to message to these people and say, well, you know, the president has saved the auto industry. And what's happened with that? Well, by saving the auto industry, that's come down home to North Carolina, because the auto industry is an essential component, an essential sponsor of the motorsports industry here. You know, we have to make the connections. And one of the things that people like us, you know, whether it's Nick back in Shelby or Andy up in Boone, one of the things that we do is we not only validate, you know, the president's message and what he's saying on the whole, but a lot of this campaign is talking to our neighbors and saying, well, you know, what does this mean for North Carolina? What does this mean for people in Davidson? What does this mean, you know, for mi gente down here?
I want to thank all of you for being on the program today. Andy Ball, Nick Carpenter, Sam Spencer, Catherine Alexander, all North Carolina delegates to the Democratic National Convention here in Charlotte. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. Thanks to WFAE in Charlotte, Joby Sprinkle, and all the rest for their hospitality. We'll have one more day here in Charlotte. Join us again tomorrow on The State of Things. This is North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.